Invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. I like that song. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take Him too. That's a pretty simple gospel message. And the message that we have is simple. Matthew chapter 11, we come to the end of the chapter this evening as we continue our study through the Gospels. And verses 25 through 30 is where we'll find our text tonight. I'm sure that verses 28 and 29 and 30 are very familiar to all of you. Maybe 25 and 26 and 27, not so much so, but I believe that these verses will be a blessing to us as we see an invitation. We see an invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. If you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God, and we'll get right into our text tonight. Matthew 11 and verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the rest that you offer through Jesus. Help us to understand that rest today. Help us to come to you. And help us to take your yoke upon us. And help us to learn of you even now, Lord. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you. I pray your word will change our lives tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. An invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ to come unto him. An invitation from Jesus Christ. And we'll work just a little bit different tonight. I want you to look, if you will, at verses 28, 29, and 30 very quickly. And we see this invitation for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is it he is inviting us to have? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And what Jesus Christ is inviting us to have is rest. And rest is an interesting thought. Most of us, maybe in our minds, we think about the fact that whenever we get saved, we live for God, and one day we die, and then we'll go to heaven, and then we'll have rest when we're dead. Maybe you've heard that before. You can rest when you're dead. And that's uplifting, right? But Jesus is actually telling us something completely different. He's telling us that when we come to him, we can have rest immediately. Amen. And then he tells us something even crazier for us to understand, because he says to take his yoke upon us, which a yoke would indicate taking a burden. But he says, if you'll come and take my yoke on you, you'll find rest to your soul. And so what an interesting concept for us to come to Jesus and get rest, and then we take his yoke upon us and we get rest. But that's exactly what he wants to offer us today. But before we get into the rest that Jesus offers, let's first notice the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look back at verse 25. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. And he goes on to say in verse 27, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. In other words, God has been selective in who he would reveal himself to. God has revealed himself to some people. He has revealed himself to people so that they could know him. And get this, friends, the only way you can know God the Father is through Jesus the Son. Amen. You see that? Amen. God hasn't revealed himself to just anybody. He hasn't revealed himself to the wise and prudent. He's hidden himself to those people, but he has willingly revealed himself to babes. But he hasn't revealed himself to babes directly. He only reveals himself to people through the Son. You listen, nobody knows the Father except for the Son. Nobody knows the Son except for the Father. And the only way you can know the Father is through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the revelation of Jesus Christ is notice this, the exclusion of the intellectually proud. He says, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. What does that mean? Well, does it mean that people who are smart can't get saved? No. It means people who are proud in their intellect cannot be saved. People who are wise in their own conceit, people who are satisfied with their own understanding cannot be saved. If you want to come to God on your own terms, under your own ideas of salvation, you're not going to find him. He's going to hide himself from you. Listen, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And friends, I want you to understand that all through the Bible, there are people who are wise in their own understanding, people who are prudent in their own eyes, people have their own ways figured out. They are proud in their own intellect, and God says, I will not reveal myself to you. Every way a man is right in his own eyes, but God's not interested in that. God's not interested in those people who are wise in their own conceits and prudent in their own ways. He has hidden himself from them. And a lot of people would read these scriptures and be upset that God would be like that. But friends, you don't come to God on your terms. You must come on his terms. And you got to remember that so much of our New Testament, especially the Gospels, is dealing with God taking the gospel to the Jews. Jesus Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. And you got to understand that so much of this, and as we've studied through the gospels, you've seen it. So much of what we've been studying is an interaction between Jesus and the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and those religious leaders. And they had their own ideas figured out. Even to this day, the rabbis in Jewish synagogues today, they say that the revealed word of God, the Old Testament scriptures, and all of the writings and teachings of the rabbis, that's what truth is. And they have left behind the scriptures and trusted more in the teachings of the rabbis throughout the ages. And they are trusting in their own wisdom, in their own prudence, in their own understanding. That's what they're trusting in to have a right relationship with God. And so God has hidden himself from those people. And that's exactly what Jesus said. And you might say, well, I don't really like that very much. But verse 26 says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Well, if you don't like it, you can take it up with God. Because this is what God has decreed. Amen. You don't come to him in your own ideas. You don't come in your own ways. You don't come in your own understanding. You must come as a babe. Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. And the Bible says in Mark 10:15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. What would you say is true of a little child? They're noisy. They're messy. Sometimes they're smelly and gross. Thank you, Brother Mike. And sometimes they don't change when they're older. But if you think about a little child, you think about a babe, the one thing that's common among all babies the world over is that they are utterly dependent. They cannot take care of themselves. And do you know what it takes for people to come to Christ? For people to come to God through Christ? is to realize that they are utterly dependent on God. We got to come as babes. We've got to become little children spiritually. We've got to come to the face the fact. Instead of thinking we've got it all figured out, instead of thinking our religion is best and our ways are best and we're good enough and all the other beliefs that we might have, we've got to abandon all of that and just say, I can't do anything without God. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. I cannot save myself. Until we come to the place where we're like Peter walking on the water when he began to sink and he just cried out, Lord, save me. I can't do this on my own. We've got to come to that place where we just abandon everything else and say, Jesus, I need you. And that is how we come to God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who God will reveal himself to, is the one who quits boasting in their own understanding and just simply comes as a small child and says, God, I need you. See the exclusion of the intellectually proud. You see the inclusion of the spiritually humble. And notice the revelation of the Son of God. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And who is it? So get it. Nobody knows the Son except for the Father. Nobody knows the Father except for the Son. And whoever the Son, Jesus Christ, will reveal the Father to. In other words, you can't know God. God is hidden from you. The word reveal, it just literally means to uncover. God has hidden himself. There's a separation between us and God. And the only way that's going to be taken off, the only way that's going to be opened up to us, is if Jesus reveals God the Father to us. And how does that happen? Well, it happens when we repent and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 17, verse 24 through 26, Jesus is praying. And he's praying for those that believed in him then, and not just those, but those who would believe in him in the future. He was praying for us. And he said, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And can I just stop and say, friend, one of these days, we're going to get to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we get just a little glimpse when we look into the Word. We see His majesty. We see His power. We see how magnificent He is and all powerful He is and all loving He is. Friends, listen. He created everything, and by Him all things consist. And that same Creator and Sustainer is the one who was on the old rugged cross. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That same Jesus who rose again, and when they came looking for Him, they said, He's not here, for He is risen. The same one that before He went up into heaven, after 40 days and 40 nights in His resurrected form, he said, listen, I've got a job for you to do. Amen. And that same one who was caught up in that cloud, then the angel said, hey, listen, what are you standing around here for? The same one that just went up, He's going to come again in the same way one day. Amen. And friends, do you hear me? We get a glimpse from His word of His glory. But one day, we're going to see Him. John 17, 24, Jesus prayed. He said, Father, I want them to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And by the way, God said in the Old Testament, my glory will I give, I will not give unto another. And yet Jesus said, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you in the beginning. Well, if only God gets the glory, then how can Jesus have the glory too? Because Jesus is God. Verse 25 says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus said, I have revealed you to these. How? Because they knew that I came from you. What does that mean? It means they believed Jesus. When he said, I and my Father are one, they didn't scream like the Pharisees, he's a blasphemer, kill him. No, when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, they worshiped Jesus as God. They believed him. And when they believed in who he was, he revealed the Father to them. And I'm just trying to tell you tonight, friends, that when we look into this Bible and we believe what it says, God will open up himself to us when we come in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to believe. We've got to have faith. And if you want to know God, you have to know him through the Son. The problem is, I'm afraid too many of us don't really care whether we know God or not. On outreach just this Saturday, a couple of the girls from our church were knocking doors just down the street, and they met a man, and they shared the gospel with him, and he said, I don't care about any of that. I don't care about God. I don't care about all that. I just don't care. And he didn't care. Now, one day, he's going to care. But I want to tell you, we've got people in our own church, and if we're honest, all of us probably have this attitude sometimes that we don't care. We don't care about the things of God. We don't care to know God any better. We don't care to grow in Christ. We don't really want to learn more about him. We just want to kind of get through our day. I got saved. I've got my fire insurance set, and I'm good. I'm just going to go on. But I promise you, that man right down the street that said he doesn't care about the things of God, one day he's going to care. And he's going to wish for all eternity that he'd have cared. And the same thing's true for you and me, friends. One day, we're going to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to wish we'd have cared more to know about Jesus. We're going to wish that we'd have cared more to study his word and to learn of him. He's revealed himself to us, and we just don't invest in knowing him more. The revelation of the Son, he reveals himself. And he reveals the Father to those who believe. So we see the revelation. Now notice the rest. The rest. John MacArthur wrote about this subject, and he said, I looked up the definition of rest in a modern dictionary. It had five different definitions of the word rest, and every one of them gives us a great picture of spiritual rest that the Lord gives. I want you to get this. Number one, the dictionary says that rest is to cease from action or motion, to cease from action, motion, or to stop labor and exertion. In other words, God has offered for us to enter into his rest. Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You can stop trying to work your way into heaven. Stop trying to labor. Stop trying to do something. You remember the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus and said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And you don't do anything to be saved. You believe. That's how you get saved. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. Amen. And you're not going to do anything. When you come to God through Christ, you come and you get rest. Stop trying to work. Second, the dictionary says that rest is to be free from whatever wearies or disturbs. It's a relief from what disturbs you. And in a spiritual sense, to enter God's rest means to be at peace with God and to have the peace of God that passes understanding in your heart and mind. Do you ever get frustrated? Amen. All the parents said. Do you ever suffer from anxiety? Anybody ever have an anxiety attack? I've never had a doctor tell me that, but I'm pretty sure I've had them. I Googled it. That's probably about as good as you get at the clinic anyway. Maybe better. Have you ever been worried? Amen. You ever been burdened with guilt? Amen. Rest means that you get freed from what wearies you or disturbs you. Listen, friend, when you come to God through Jesus Christ, He gives you rest. Be careful for nothing. What's that mean? It means don't worry. To be full. See, we think careful means to watch your step. Don't do something dangerous. But biblically, careful means to be full of care or worry. And God says, don't be full of care. Don't be full of worry for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we don't need to worry if we have rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I understand we have problems. I understand we have trouble. I understand we have sin, but Jesus has taken away our sin. And Jesus can handle all of our problems. And no matter what happens in this life, when you die in Christ, you have life everlasting. I don't want to tell you, it puts a lot of things in perspective. Amen. When you know you're going to heaven when you die. Amen. Doesn't it? Amen. Well, it should. Listen, if we're so focused on all this stuff down here that we're worried and scared and anxious all the time, we need to get our eyes up. Amen. And we need to set our affections on things above. And we need to take those burdens and lay them at the feet of Jesus. He will give us rest. Amen. Number three, the dictionary says to rest is to be settled or fixed. Something rests somewhere. It's settled there. It's fixed there. It's laid down there. And spiritually, what a picture. To enter God's rest means to be secure in God. To stop putting yourself in philosophy. To stop putting yourself in religion, to stop putting yourself in the things of this world, and take your life and just put it in Christ. There's rest there, friends. You take something and you just put it down somewhere, and that's, friends, that's what we need to do with our lives. We just take our whole life and quit trying religion, philosophy, and all these worldly ideas. Just take our whole life and just put it all right here in Jesus. Amen. There you go, Lord, it's yours. And quit trying to pick it back up. Leave it there. Rest. Fourth, rest means to remain confident or trustful. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Listen, you enter God's rest. You have faith without fear. You have security. You have trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Number five, the dictionary says rest means to lean on or to depend on. Amen. I'm amazed with us. How many of you got saved more than 2 years ago? Most everybody here. How many of you got saved less than 2 years ago? A couple of you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm amazed with us that years ago we could take our soul and trust it to Jesus. That's what you did when you got saved, wasn't it? Amen. Jesus died for me, rose again. He's the only one I'm going to get saved. I'm putting my soul, my whole eternal being in Christ. I trust in Him with my eternal life. And then we come down the road a few years and all of a sudden we have a bill that we don't know how we're going to pay and we flip out. We lose our minds over a bill. And you can trust Jesus with your eternal soul, but you can't trust Him with this bill? What's wrong with us? We trust Him with our eternal soul and we can't trust Him with our health or our wealth. We can't trust Him with our family. We can't trust Him with all these things. Friends, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with this. When you rest in Jesus, you can depend on Him. Amen. Depend on Him. Trust in Him. Rest. What a blessing. Amen. Cease from action. Be free from what disturbs you. Be fixed and settled. Be confident and trustful. Lean on Him and depend on Him. That all comes when we come unto Him and find rest unto our souls. Do you see it? Look at the invitation that Jesus gives us. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And what were the Pharisees trying to do? They were trying to work their way into salvation. And what are people trying to do today? They're trying to work their way to salvation. And what's the burden that every sinner bears? They bear the weight of their own sin. And it's been that way for centuries. Isaiah 1:4. Oh, all sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. And it's no different for us today without Christ. We are laden with iniquity. We are altogether corrupted without Christ. And we bear the burden of our sin. Psalm 38:4, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. Now, I don't know how many testimonies I've heard in my life where somebody says, when I got saved, it felt like a great burden was lifted off of me. Anybody else feel that way? I remember hearing those testimonies when I was a young man. I wasn't saved. And I didn't get it. Maybe I didn't even pay attention, but I didn't get it. I didn't know what they were saying. That didn't make any sense to me. That was just weird. But I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I immediately understood what they'd been talking about. Listen, when you come to Christ and you repent and you trust in Him, the burden of your sin is taken off of you and it's put on Him. Amen. And He already paid the price for it, so it's done. Right. And it feels like this great weight has been lifted off of your soul. Why? Because our iniquities are over our head. You ever heard somebody say that? I'm in over my head? Well, that's where we are with our sin. We are drowning. And he says, my iniquities, it's a burden that is too heavy for me. And so Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I believe verse 28 is talking about the rest of salvation. When you repent and trust Christ, when you come to him in faith, he takes away the burden of your sin and he gives your soul rest. Isn't that sweet? I got good news for you people. You don't have to be dead to rest. Jesus gives you rest now. He gives you life now. He gives you forgiveness of sin now. He takes away your worry now. He gives you peace that passes understanding now. You don't have to wait till later. You can have all of that right now. You can live a carefree life. That doesn't mean that you don't have any worries or concerns or anything. It just means that you give all those burdens to Jesus. He takes care of it. Doesn't mean you don't have to work. It doesn't mean you don't have to pay your bills. It doesn't mean that you might not get sick or somebody you love might not die. No, we still have to face all of those things, but we face them in the security and rest that comes in Christ. Amen. And that's a great thing. Have you ever wondered how the world faces all the stuff in the world without Jesus? I think that all the time. I go to a funeral of somebody that I don't know if they were saved or not, and I look at this family with these loved ones of somebody who died that didn't know the Lord, and I don't know how they can survive that. I don't know how they get through it. I go to the hospital to visit somebody that's got cancer and looks like they're going to die, and their family's all around, their family's lost, and they don't know how to deal with that. Why? Because they don't have rest. They've never come to the Lord and they don't have rest and it's awful. Amen. Friends, you can survive anything in this world. You can survive anything the devil can throw at you. You can survive anything if you are in Christ. Amen. There's an invitation to the rest of Jesus, but there's also to the rest of salvation. There's also an invitation to the rest of sanctification. And I believe that the rest in verse 28 is dealing with salvation. But I believe that there's a rest that comes from sanctification that we see in verse 29. And the Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And friends, you come unto the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, then he gives your soul rest in salvation. But hear me. After you get saved, he calls you to service. He calls you to live for Him. And I promise you this, the person who is genuinely saved, but they're not serving Christ, is a miserable person indeed, and they have lost some of the rest that God wants to give them in their day-to-day life. Listen, he says, take my yoke upon you. What's that mean? It means it's a yoke is a burden, you know, like they put the yoke on the oxen to pull the cart or to plow the field, to do the work, and that's exactly what God has called us to do. Now, we don't work to get saved. Amen. So verse 29 and 30 isn't talking about the rest that comes from being saved. It's talking about the rest that comes from being sanctified. Amen. And you remember, salvation is the miracle of a moment. In a moment, you're given forgiveness of sin and eternal life. But then begins the process of sanctification where God is helping you to put off the old and put on the new. To stop doing the bad things and start doing the good things. To stop living in unrighteousness and start living in righteousness. He wants us to change. And when you start living for Jesus, it gives rest to your soul. They say, well, that doesn't make any sense. So what you're saying is you got to work to get rest. Exactly. We're all doing something. And no matter what we do, we are serving something. We can either live our lives to serve sin, or we can live our lives to serve the Savior. And you can get rest when you serve the Savior, and you will have unrest if you continue to serve sin. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Romans 6, 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. What is that? Paul says, listen, you used to serve sin, but praise God, you heard the doctrine of salvation and you were delivered from that. You were set free from being a servant or a slave to sin. Come on, people. Do you know that word servant means bond servant? It means a slave. Amen. Do you know that you used to be a slave to sin and death and hell? Amen. Did you know that when you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you obeyed that in repentance and faith, that you were set free from sin? Amen. Careful. Some of you are going to get excited about it. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And Romans 6 goes on to tell you about it, friends. He says, listen, you were serving sin, but now you can serve righteousness. And don't go back and serve sin. Keep serving righteousness. He saved you to serve. Isn't that what he said in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. Amen. Right? Amen. Created unto good works, Amen. Which he hath before ordained that you should walk in them. Jesus Christ saved you. You can't work to get yourself saved, but you are saved to serve. The truth is, most of the time, I feel like a Corinthian. Paul said, you're carnal. You're fleshly. You continue to serve the lust of the flesh, and God has saved you for so much better than that. Amen. And my fear is that if we're not careful, all of us will be like that. And when you've been set free from a horrible master called sin, who brought nothing but death and sorrow and suffering to your life, when you've been set free from the bonds of sin and you can now serve the Savior who loved you and gave himself for you, why in the world would we ever want to go back and put ourselves under that taskmaster again? We're just as foolish as the Israelites who got mad at Moses and said we were better off in Egypt. No, they weren't better off in Egypt. Why were they crying out to God to get out of there if things were so good? And they turned away from the one who saved them and set them free, and they want to go back, and it's exactly what we do, friends. And Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. And we say, praise God, I like that, that's good. And then he says, take my yoke upon you, and you say, and we say, oh no, I don't really want to do anything. After all, we don't work to get saved. No, we don't work to get saved. Everybody who's ever worked to get saved didn't get saved.
Amen.
But we do work because we are saved. Galatians 5 and verse 1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And friends, we have two yokes set before us today. We have the yoke of bondage, the yoke of sin and of death and of hell, of sorrow and suffering, where we were when we were lost. And on the other side, we have the yoke of Christ. A yoke that is easy and a burden that is light and a service for God that will give rest unto our soul.
Amen.
It's really not much of a choice, is it?
Amen.
And I promise you this. You will never, ever, 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 ever give anything up by giving your life to Christ.
Amen.
You will never lose anything by giving up the things of this world to gain the things of heaven. You are not losing anything.
Amen.
To give up your sin to serve the Savior. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, the salvation that Christ offers. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Is the sanctification of the believer. There is a rest which Jesus gives. It's the rest of redemption. And there's a rest which Jesus gives the believer, which is the commitment. It comes through commitment and a consecrated life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, if you want to find rest today, I told you, that rest is to cease from action, to be free from what disturbs you, to be fixed and settled, to be confident and trustful, to lean and depend on the Lord. And if you want to have that kind of life, it's available. You simply need to come unto Jesus through faith. And then you need to take his yoke upon you. And he said, learn of me.
Amen.
And this evening, we're going to get ready for an invitation. And I would challenge you tonight to respond to the Holy Spirit of God, as we are so tempted to go back and to put on the yoke of bondage, that we would make up our minds tonight to go forward and take up the yoke of Christ. And listen, he said, learn of me. Why? Because our service to God is found in knowing him and obeying his word. That's how we serve him. Because we learn what he wants us to do and we obey it. So, do you have a desire to know the Lord? Do we care about the things of God? Do we want to know and live for the one who loved us so much he died for us? If you feel the Lord convicting your heart tonight, a decision, you need to make a response to the invitation of Christ tonight. As we stand together, we sing what number?
Page 569.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, on you, and learn of me. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. He's inviting tonight to trust in him. He's inviting tonight to serve him. If he's convicting your heart, would you come?